Strike and Spare Family Fun Center studio. It's a Bill King show.
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals.
Go get it, dog.
I'm a man.
He had a voice that could make a wolverine purr.
Hide is sitting on a firecracker.
And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo.
It's a fantastic day for the United States of America.
It's a Bill King show. Call or text now. We'd love to hear your thoughts. Call us or send us a text on the WNSR text line. 615-844-5600. 615-844-5600. Call or text. Same number.
Red 7.
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel. Fifth Avenue, downtown.
Hot rap. That's what we call a sack lunch.
I do have a very particular set of skills. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
Mike Griffin, AGC's Dog Nation, is with us on Tuesdays right here in this slot. Griff, first time we've talked to you about this, but the fallout from the Trevor Etienne story.
Well, I mean, I don't know if there's any fallout. I mean, the guy, there's reports that he was arrested and charged with reckless driving and DUI. I mean, Kirby's going to address it today, so we're not in season. Don't really know about any fallout, so that's what's out there. That's all we know.
I saw you write about it, though. I mean, you were questioning leadership, things of that nature.
Well, yeah. I mean, any time a guy comes in that you're counting on to have a big season, gets in trouble off the field or has an issue, it's disappointing because this is a guy, I think, that's pivotal to Georgia's success. But, again, we don't know if he's going to be suspended or when he might be suspended or if he'll miss games or if he'll turn it around. I mean, it's something that happens Sunday morning. So I kind of hesitate to get ahead of myself and say what's going to happen. But, yeah, I mean, from the perspective of him being kind of a key free agent in the offseason, I guess that's kind of the way you look at it in college football now when players are brought in from other schools or transfer. You don't often see that. I guess it would be kind of my takeaway. A couple thoughts I have would be, like, most of the time when guys transfer, there's not incidents, right? They're brought in, they want to be there. They're pretty focused on why they're there. But, you know, I guess it was just a matter of time. I guess the question I'd have, you know, one of the things looking forward, like maybe with NIL and stuff, would you attach, like, I don't know, morality clauses to it? Would you say to a guy, okay, well, we're going to pay you this much money, but if you get in trouble, that's going to void the deal? Or maybe with a guy like ETN, it doesn't really matter because his brother is in the NFL and makes a lot of money. I don't know, Bill. I mean, it's college guys doing things or being accused of doing things, same things every year. Names, faces change. Happens everywhere. I'm not saying it's right. Kind of unfortunate. You think that people would learn, and especially now when there's other alternatives like Uber and whatnot. But I don't know all the circumstances or situations. Again, that's why I say I don't want to get ahead of myself, because I haven't heard what Kirby Smart has to say about it. I haven't heard what ETN has to say about it. It's been hard to get the whole police report flushed out. Usually they hold those for a little while before you get all the details.
Mike Griffith, AJC's Dog Nation. Steve in Campbellsville, Kentucky says, Bill, this is on the text line. I believe you've said, Bill, that Griff is from Michigan. What are his thoughts on Oakland from Greater Detroit beating Kentucky in the first round of the tournament, basketball tournament?
Well, yeah, I mean, I went to school at Michigan State, but I've known Greg Campy for a while. This guy's he's a really good coach. I mean, I watched him beat Bruce Pearl. I'll tell you a funny story. So when I covered Tennessee basketball in the Bruce Pearl era, I would go to all the practices and I would go to the walkthroughs. And the day before, I would go to Tennessee's walkthrough, and then I would stick around side court, and the other team would come in, and I would try to stay because I wanted to watch the other team go to the walkthrough. And sometimes I'd get kicked out of there, right? Like when Kentucky come, they'd send somebody like, you got to leave. We don't know who you are. You got to get out of here. So I'm sitting there and watching the Oakland walkthrough, and Greg Campy comes over and goes, so who are you? I go, well, I cover Tennessee. I said, I guess you want me to leave. No. Stay right here. He goes, let me tell you what we're going to work on. He says, we're going to work on our inbounds plays, because when you play Bruce's teams, he's always got these defenses set up for the inbounds. So we're going to put in a few inbounds here. He said, and we usually don't scrimmage or run the floor, but Bruce likes to run that trap. So we're going to spend about 20 minutes getting up and down the court because he likes to trap, and I want my guys to be ready to handle that. You want to throw it over the court, but you don't necessarily want to try and score because he tries to invite these three-on-two situations that he feels good about. So I got to get the guys disciplined to throw over the top of the trap, and then we're going to sit up in our half court. And I'm going, this is unbelievable. So I call one of the Tennessee, I leave there, I call one of the Tennessee, say, you know, I don't know, Campy said something, say, hey, to Bruce for me, whatever. I call one of the Tennessee assistants, they said, what's the deal with this Greg Campy guy? I go, what are you talking about? I go, well, not only did he let me stay and watch, but he told me everything he's working on. He says he's putting in new out-of-bounds plays, he says he's working full court, and he said to tell Bruce he said hi. They go, yeah, that's Campy, man. You know what, though? Oakland beat Tennessee the next day. And then the next year, Konzo Martin was the head coach. You know what happened when Tennessee went to Oakland? They got beat again. So this guy is a incredible coach. It's amazing that he's still there. And it wasn't shocking because Oakland is that doggone good. And he's that doggone good. So it really, I texted him after the win the other day and congratulated him. He's a guy that I think everybody up there is kind of a fan of. He's just a really good coach. He gets players that shoot the three ball and they can take, they're giant killers. It's what Oakland basketball does.
He's been there, what, decades?
He's been there longer than that. He goes all the way back to the Horizon League. I mean, he's been there a long time. I'm trying to think, 20 years maybe? I mean, it's a long time. He has been there. You need to Google the guy. He's been there a long, long time.
Mike the Mad Dog in Noonan, Georgia. Ask Griff how impressed he is with what Wes Johnson is doing with the Diamond Dogs.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they get swept at Kentucky, and you're thinking, okay, there's a reality check, and then they come home and they sweep a top 10 Alabama team. So, you know, Wes is doing a good job. You wonder about the Georgia pitching, and if it holds up. I mean, the SEC's, I don't even tell you guys this, anybody who follows SEC baseball knows how good it is. There's, what, 8 or 9 teams in the top 25 regularly. So, yeah, I mean, it was a good response, but they got a tough trip. They got to go up to Knoxville this weekend for a 3-game series, and Tennessee's number 5 in the nation. So if Georgia can get one up there, I'd say that'd be a huge success. But, you know, Vols be going for the sweep.
And they're saying, and not that I spend a lot of time with mock Major League Baseball drafts there, Griff, but Charlie Condon might be the first player taken, they're saying.
Yeah, oh no, he's amazing. He's the Herschel Walker of Georgia baseball. And that's not an exaggeration. Anybody that watches this guy, I'll tell you, I mean, he's about 6'4". He leads the nation in hitting right now, and he's second in home runs. He can steal bases, plays 4 or 5 different positions. Just a freakish athlete, freakish baseball player, amazing guy, amazing kid, Georgia kid. Was a walk-on. Nobody else recruited him. Red-shirted. I mean, he's just a heck of a story. And, you know, yeah, he is probably the best player in baseball.
This just came up. I'll pose it to you because you are a journalist. The Kim Mulkey story about the Washington Post, have you paid any attention to that and any thoughts?
Well, it's tough. It's tough on both counts. I mean, I can understand why a coach would, you know, be upset if she found out that, you know, someone was calling trying to interview people, you know, with a less than flattering angle. At the same time, as a journalist, sometimes the only way people will talk is under the condition of anonymity because they're afraid that if they tell the truth and give their name, that harm could come to them, that the cancel culture could come after them, right? Say you were, you know, writing a story that didn't reflect positively on, you know, Team A. Well, every fan of Team A is going to come at you, and it does happen. I mean, I've been in those shoes. I mean, I've covered all these programs, and you know, you write a story, you know, a recent story, people come in, oh, you just love writing about kids getting pulled over, don't you? No, it's part of the job. I didn't become a sports writer to you know, read police reports. I like going to games and writing about athletes and telling stories of success. But unfortunately, you know, things come up. And, you know, we're in kind of a cancel culture right now. And people will try to cancel you if they don't like your message. And I've had plenty of fans that didn't like things I've written or things I've said on the Paul Feinbaum show when they'll take 20 snippets of a 15-minute interview and play it. And, oh, my gosh, that's what he thinks of this. Oh, no, that was 20 seconds of the interview. And I'll give you a great example. You know, the Butch Jones stuff at Tennessee. I did a 15-minute interview with Paul one time, and Butch was under fire. He's clearly going to get fired. And, you know, I was saying why he was going to get fired and, you know, when I thought it might happen. And I said, but, you know, when I talked with John Curry, the athletic director, you know, he made a case for Butch. And he said, well, what did he say? I said, and then I said, well, you know, when, you know, they set all these records with their offense and they broke these records that, you know, Peyton Manning and David Cutcliffe, you know, set, that's a pretty good thing. Well, that's all they took out of the interview. So Tennessee fans said, oh, my gosh, listen, Mike's saying that Butch, well, no, the question was, what was John Curry's argument for not firing Butch Jones yet? But you didn't hear that part of the clip. So what happens? Cancel culture. Oh, this guy loves Butch Jones. This guy drinks his bathwater. This guy spends the night at his house. I mean, it was ridiculous. And it was a barrage of tweets. And people pile on. So that's why when people get interviewed, imagine if it was Joe Public. You know, hey, former Kim Mulkey player X says this. Well, then all the Kim Mulkey fans attack that person. Maybe they call their workplace. Maybe they try to get them fired. Maybe they create stories. Maybe they harass their kids. You know, social media is so powerful and packs such a punch. And when people can be anonymous and attack you, that's dangerous, right, on social media. So it's tough because I understand why the coach is concerned that someone's trying to drum up a story and that people are going to say things without giving their name, right? But on the other hand, if you're the journalist trying to gain information, and the only way you can get information is if you protect the identity of a person, you know, what's more important? So it's kind of a new phenomena that we have now with social media and how the press works and how people react just in general to the press.
Jeff, too, and also Hawkeye Jason say, Campy has been there at Oakland 40 years. He took the job in 84. Wow.
Yeah, he's amazing. Like I said, he's an amazing coach. Probably a story that should be talked about more, told more, but it's hard in that state. You know, Tom Izzo is an institution, and then you got the blue wall, right? I don't even think Michigan will play him. U of M is, what, 20 miles away from won't play him? You know, that's some of the Michigan stuff that, you know, the inside baseball stuff about UM that creates some backlash in that state. You know, some of the arrogance and the power that they control because it's such a popular school in the state. I'd say even more so than Alabama and Auburn. I think, you know, as much power and control as Alabama has, I think Michigan's even more dominant than Michigan in terms of the way they dominate the media.
Griff, we'll see you next week.
Appreciate it.
Gator Dave, when we come back. Campy 68, according to Jeff, too.
Good morning. TDOT was moving a crash a few minutes ago on 40 East near Charlotte Ave downtown. It's pretty crowded now on 40 westbound coming in from Wilson County, especially the Mount Juliet area up through the Hermitage area as it continues to run slow on Vietnam Vets through Hendersonville there at Gallatin Pike all the way up to Conference Drive as you go westbound on Vietnam Vets. 65 also slowing down up there north of town in Millersville as you come through that section of Sumner County. 24/7 reliable crane and rigging services right here in Middle Tennessee. Tomahawk, Crane, and Rigging. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
In a single moment, everything can change. When a player's sudden cardiac event brought a national football game to a halt, it shone a spotlight on the importance of CPR readiness. Now, with youth sports in full swing, the American Heart Association is rallying parents and coaches to be ready in an emergency. To be ready, learn hands-only CPR. It's a skill anyone can learn in minutes. Visit heart.org/handsonlycpr and become a lifesaver today.
A friend of mine just bought a new house for the first time. A new house. I mean, my wife and I'd love to own a house. So I asked him how he did it. And he smiled and he said he went to the knowledge tree. He had this happy look on his face. So I told him to tell me more. And he said, John, the lack of knowledge will keep you poor. Then he handed me a brochure. It was from Knowledge Tree Mortgage. Now I understood. And after one phone call, I understood even more. Knowledge Tree Mortgage specializes in first-time homebuyers. Folks like me who get the runaround from banks. And he got us pre-qualified. Knowledge Tree Mortgage got us our mortgage. And tomorrow, my wife and I are going to become first-time homebuyers. Here's the number, 859-9599. 859-9599. Money doesn't grow on trees. Knowledge does. Knowledge Tree Mortgage, 859-9599. 859-9599.
And now, the fine folks at FMR Construction Services are on the air, proudly saluting the brave men and women of our U.S. military, both past and present. Thank you. This message is courtesy of FMR Construction Services, your certified pros. For commercial and residential roofing, general contracting, and painting needs, call FMR Construction Services today at 615-788-7662. 615-788-7662.
It's the McFarland Show with Darren McFarland and Fox 17's Justin McFarland.
We're going to see the Titans actually come into 2024. We're getting out of the 90s and the 80s, and we're actually going into 2024 with the Tennessee Titans in this market.
No more Tecmo Bowl.
No, it's a two-back system today. Yeah. That's what people are doing.
The McFarland Show with Darren and Justin on Nashville Sports Radio WNSR.
You like tackle football? Bill King does, and you can connect with @BillIsKing on Twitter or 615-844-5600.
Dave is with us each and every Tuesday. Gators Breakdown, his podcast. You can hear it on every platform out there available. Dave, good morning to you, sir.
Good morning, Bill.
What's the word down there? What's the latest news?
Oh, let's see. Probably going to injury front at a spring practice. True freshman linebacker Miles Graham will be out the rest of the spring. He had a pre-existing back injury, Bill, and they wanted to go through the first couple of spring practices to kind of see where he would be, and then they would have spring break. But during spring break, they made that determination that he needed to go ahead and have surgery on his back. So, back injuries are tricky, but doesn't seem to be anything too serious, Bill. But, you know, Shamar James was already out after he was dealing with an injury, late last season. He's been pretty limited this spring. Derek Wingo the same way. So Florida was already relying on some young linebackers, which, in some ways is a blessing in disguise, Bill, because those guys, I think, need all the reps. You bring in Pup Howard to transfer from South Carolina. But it looked like Graham and Pup Howard were going to be those two young guys to help make up for the reps. There were Shamar James was going to be in there, and now Miles Graham will be out, and he'll be back this fall. So kind of go down the depth chart a little bit. You still have Pup Howard there getting a lot of the reps. Jaden Robinson, who was a true freshman last year, played a little bit more than I thought he would last year. And then also Manny Nunnery, so who Billy Napier spoke well about over the weekend. So, and then on the offensive line, Cam Waits, Bill, they're an offensive tackle, reserve offensive tackle more than likely. Florida did bring in two transfers, Brendan Crenshaw-Dixon and Devin Manuel. Those guys are going to
be the main cog at tackle right now, while Austin Barber is very limited this spring. So you wanted some, you know, create some competition. You wanted to create some depth there this spring at the tackle spot. And Cam Waits, Bill, I mean, a year ago, he was nursing an Achilles injury. So missed spring last year as well, played limited this past season. So wanted to see him get in that competition, get the reps, and get some continuity along that offensive line. So no major injuries. But those guys just missing spring, probably about the biggest news coming out lately for spring ball.
Gator Dave Gator's breakdown. Overall, good basketball season.
Yeah, Bill, of course, you know, disappointing end. And, you know, of course, you know, Handlocked and going down the SEC tournament. And then fast forward to the NCAA tournament. You could tell Florida really missing versus Colorado. Mr. Rim Protector, Mr. Rebounder. They just couldn't get any rhythm against Colorado, Bill. The foul discrepancy there for Florida really made it where they couldn't get any kind of rhythm. Some guys in foul trouble. You almost had the heroics with Clayton late in that game. He got Florida back in it when it looked like the game was over, but they fought back there, Bill. But there's some bad defense, you know, probably some bad fortunate dealing with the refs there. But yeah, all in all, Bill, I think you got to like the direction that this basketball team and the turnaround Todd Golden put together with the roster. You'll have to do it again, of course, and probably hit the transfer portal to help make up for, you know, losing Zion Pullen and Tyree Samuel. But you got some good building blocks. You know, I think that the number one priority is making sure Clayton comes back. Will Richard would be back there, Bill. We'll see what happens if Riley Kugel decides to transfer, stay there at Florida. You know, what the player we thought he would be this year, and Florida still overcame that and became the NCAA tournament team. So, you know, is there more there? Can they figure something out there? Get Kugel back in more of the player they maybe thought he would be. We saw Denzel Aberdeen come on late in the season. So there's and then the front court. You know, we got to make sure Micah Handlockton comes back healthy. It was a gruesome injury he suffered there. So a lot to like, a lot of young pieces up front with Alex Condon and Thomas Hall as well. So there's a nice base to build on, Bill, and just make sure, you know, Florida hits the transfer portal for, you know, 2-3 impact players to add to a lot of what we saw from this past year.
Gator Dave Gator's breakdown. And Dave, I don't know what's going on, but is your audio and your headset popping in and out or anything?
No, Bill. I'm doing just like I've done with the Zoom call.
Because I'm having trouble. I don't know why, but it's popping back and forth. Patton, would you jump on a mic and let me just make sure I can hear you? Patton, are you there?
Say that again, Bill.
Yeah, on my end, I have audio issues right now. I'm not sure what's going on at all. But, and now... now I'm hearing an echo. Yeah, Patton, now I'm hearing a delayed effect on the okay, that's gone. The delay is gone, but I hear nothing on the other end. Patton, have you tried to talk to me?
No, I'm
I can hear you now.
In the audience, do you guys hear me well? I think you do. But with Gator Dave, I am getting absolutely I had no problems with Griff at all. And then when I got to Dave, it started popping in and out. Perry Mason. Okay, go ahead, Dave. Is that you?
I got you, Bill. I'm loud and clear now.
Okay, well, for some reason I'm hearing you, and I don't know what's going on. This is weird. I don't know if this has ever happened to me in 35 years of doing this. Dave, you were going from my left ear to my right ear, and then and then it just disappeared. I'm not sure what's going on there. But anyways, I hope we're okay. Perry Mason says, please ask Dave. Perry's from the Orange Groves of America. What about freshman running back number 13? He says his name escapes me. He looks SEC ready now.
Well, Bill, Florida's got two of them they're pretty high on. If there's some insider practice notes coming from spring practice so far, there's Kanan Daniels and Jaden Ball. There's two freshmen running backs there that Florida is really high on right now. You know, you lose Trevor Etienne, he goes to Georgia. Treyon Webb kind of shoots up to that second spot. But right now, looking at those freshman backs, tough, physical, hard-nosed runners. You know, Kanan Daniels was kind of a do-it-all quarterback there for his team, more of a running quarterback, but course, Florida's just going to shift that to be a running back in college. But they are really excited about what they're seeing from the freshmen so far. And you know, with Cam Carroll, Bill, he would be the third running back right now, but he tore his he gruesome injury last fall. He'd be the third running back, but Florida's nursing him along pretty slow. So this opened up that third spot in spring camp for these freshman running backs. And right now, Florida likes what they see from both of them.
Gator Dave Gators breakdown with us. And I'm getting a lot of messages here. Everybody's hearing us, so I don't know what that was, but I think we're hanging in there. We're doing okay. Baseball team, early on now, the intra-league play, the word is you can't win a series on the road, but Florida did it. And a Kentucky fan just reminded me, Larry up in Kentucky said Kentucky won 2 out of 3 at Missouri. It's been hard and tough, though, so far for everybody.
Yeah, Bill, I mean, for Florida, you know, they're taking on two of the SEC's early season best so far at A&M at home and then LSU on the road this week and one series against both of them. And this is despite, you know, a lot of the worry of what you see from Florida in the midweek games. So, you know, they're overcoming some of the pitching questions that were starting to arise, but you know, the weekend series are starting to make you feel better about the progress. And you know, maybe what they're really doing is what Kevin O'Sullivan's kind of done. His reputation is just really working through a lot of things in these midweek games. They got FSU tonight here in Jacksonville for that series. But, Bill, they're putting it together on the weekends. The pitching has come around. They got their bats going Sunday against LSU to take that series. You know, Jack Caglione, Bill, I mean, last year he was 7-4 with a 4.34 ERA. And right now he's sitting at a 1.65 ERA. I mean, we were wondering about the how much better could he be hitting the ball, but you know, I think the pitching kind of got thrown to the wayside a little bit. But he's become Florida's best pitcher so far this year. So really good for him, and you know, just really tore the ball up on the bats. Maybe cooled off a little bit until Sunday when they really needed it and started putting together a lot of runs to kind of run rule LSU there on Sunday. So team, at least in SEC play, Bill, really starting to come together. And I think Kevin O'Sullivan, as the season will go on, to get ready for the SEC tournament, to get ready for the big tournament at the end of the year, we'll use these midweek games to kind of figure some things out.
Yeah, Cags a year ago. If you just take the entire season, pitching was iffy. He's a lefty, throws high 90s. That's always been there, right? But location, getting wild a little bit, he's improved. I'll tell you the area, because his bat's so wicked, he's an incredible defender at first base. He makes plays.
Yeah but I... All he's doing is just upping that draft stock right now. There's a lot. The last year he didn't have that pressure on him. He kind of just came out of nowhere last year. This year it was all eyes on Jack Caglione, and he's done nothing but surpass the expectations so far.
Mike the Mad Dog down in Noonan, Georgia. This is one for you, Gator Day. This is going to make your brain work overtime here. If Napier is let go, who would Florida go after?
Who?
I know.
Yeah. I know you asked most of the fan base, and I think it's kind of torn because most feel the administration wouldn't go this way, but I think Lane Kiffin is the first name that comes up there. I know many in the fan base that would be their top choice, given what he's done at Ole Miss, given kind of the brash, in-your-face attitude and way that just kind of seems to fit Florida football, Bill. That's kind of the name there. But, Bill, if Florida was to get rid of Billy Napier, I forget the exact number right now, but it would be a very, very expensive buyout for him, the staff, so with that limit and who you go get next and who you can afford and all that kind of stuff. So, if it's not Lane Kiffin, do you go the up-and-coming route again? Can you afford to take that risk? And if it's somebody like that, I have no idea who that would be, to try and get this thing turned around in this age of college football. But, just to probably – keep the conversation with a name people would know. And I think, given talking to Gator Nation when this topic does come up. Lane Kiffin's kind of the far away name right now.
Perry Mason from the Orange Groves of America. First time to win a series at LSU since 2019, he said, but Ty Evans was big in that series as well.
Yeah, I mean, not only that, Bill, I mean, it's just, I mean, there were, I'm trying to remember, I mean, yeah, Evans went 3 for 5, but it was, there were 5 players, I think, who hit 6 home runs in Sunday, so... as I said, the bats, you know, there were some, you know, questions while the pitching was kind of coming along. It was, okay, well, where's, you know, the bats were slowing down. Look, that's going to happen. You're not going to be, both sides aren't going to be, you know, at level 10 all the time. But, I mean, Colby Shelton, Bill, has lived up to what we thought he would be. Ty Evans, Jack. It's just, there are, especially at the top of the lineup, though, there's so many weapons for this batting lineup that, I mean, it's when it comes down to it, I know there was a lot of questions when, you know, some of these midweek losses started piling up and you know, probably they still may pile up. But I think when rubber hits the road and they got these big matchups in SEC play, I think we're seeing what this Gators team is mostly made up of.
Gator Dave Gators breakdown with us. Well, is it time to speculate on April coming up and the portal and what Florida's going to be busy doing?
Well, Bill, right now they'll have to have some people leave. I mean, there's no room on the roster right now for Florida. So, you know, look, I would expect, you know, I think Florida's got some, you know, probably some receivers that may decide to hit the portal if spring doesn't go the right way. Maybe some younger, you know, not only this end of younger, but maybe some players up front on the defensive line as well if they're not getting some play in time. But, I mean, maybe 2 or 3 spots, Bill. I know you probably start looking at edge rusher still, maybe another wide receiver for Florida at the transfer portal. You know, if nobody leaves, and there's a unfortunate truth here. Maybe there are some forced dismissals to come along after spring practice, but that doesn't necessarily seem to be Billy Napier's style too much. So, I don't know how much movement there will be, Bill. I honestly don't. I think there are some. There are some positions, as I said, edge and wide receiver that Florida can probably use some more help, use some more veteran leadership there at those spots. But I mean, who will be available? And I think the biggest thing, Bill, you know, this has got to be. But I mean, are the wheels already in motion for a lot of these schools? I mean, as I said, I think most schools are probably at their scholarship limit right now. So, going into spring ball. So are there Willen and Dillons behind the scenes of, all right, well, you know, we need the room. We need this to happen before we can bring this person in. I think it's going to be fascinating to watch it all unfold this spring transfer portal.
Gators breakdown on all the platforms out there. You can find it easily. All his work. Appreciate it, man.
Thank you. Thank you, Bill.
That was weird. I literally had audio switching ears in my headset. That's new. And then it would go blank. I'm sure we're okay, though. I'm sure it's all right. Coming right back. Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. They were moving in a crash a few minutes ago in the downtown area, 40 westbound off-ramp there in Broadway. Hopefully, they'll get that out of there. It's pretty crowded now over here in Hermitage, Donaldson on 40 going westbound. You got all that traffic flowing in right now from Wilson County, especially coming in from the Mount Juliet area. Also very busy, 24 westbound. It's starting to load up again out of Rutherford County, Murfreesboro, up through Antioch towards Nashville. Prince's Hot Chicken's got you covered with catering. Log on to their menu today. It's easy, princeshotchicken.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Ah, fun is in full bloom, Tennessee, and the Multiplier Instant Games are buzzing in. These colorful tickets offer chances to multiply your wins 10, 20, 50, and even 100 times. It's a beautiful day for bigger and bigger prizes, and they're ripe for the picking right now. Find the Multiplier Instant Games today at your nearest Tennessee Lottery retailer, only from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Please play responsibly.
Bob's Steak and Chop House, located in the Omni Nashville Hotel, is a nationally renowned steakhouse specializing in the finest corn-fed Midwestern prime beef. The menu formula is simple. Incredible meat, gigantic shrimp, fabulous salads, and decadent desserts. Start your experience at Bob's with the fried calamari or fresh scallops seared in Texas burnt honey. All the beef at Bob's Steak and Chop House are USDA prime cut, from the traditional fillet of tenderloin and ribeye to the adventurous Kansas City bone-in strip. They even have two different surf and turf options. And if you're looking for the other white meat, Bob's Steak and Chop House serves a dry-aged pork tomahawk with homemade applesauce. Fresh seafood is on the menu, from salmon to scampi, and even fresh lobster tail. For reservations, give them a call or log on to the Omni Nashville Hotel website. Bob's Steak and Chop House at the Omni Nashville Hotel.
You enjoy the thrill of gambling, but what happens when it becomes a problem? Whether you want to cut back or quit gambling altogether, the Gambling Clinic has been helping people change their gambling for over two decades. We're here to help, not to judge. The Gambling Clinic is a Tennessee-based clinic offering in-person and telehealth support to help people win back their life. Visit us at thegamblingclinic.com. This project is funded by the Tennessee Department of Mental Health and Substance Abuse Services.
It's JB and the General.
We're going to re-sign Derek. We're going to bring Ryan back for one more year. I can win with
the band is coming back.
What I mean, what happened last year? In the 11th hour, they signed D-Hop. But I strongly believe that Vrabel at the last hour, you know, slammed his fist on the table and said, I can win with this team. Let's not start the rebuild.
Weekdays 9 to 11, live on WNSR.
The world's largest indoor cocktail party. The Bill King Show.
Baby Kip would take that job. Now again, place this entire conversation just on it's the non-playing portion. We're at liberty to speculate and go places that typically we may not be going just due to time constraints. Put that under that category. Again. Billy Napier's at Florida. He's the coach. But the question did arise from Mike the Mad Dog down in Noonan, Georgia, about what they may do if indeed Billy Napier does not make it past the 24 season. We'll find that out once we get to playing ball games again. But he mentioned that you hear Lane Kiffin. I think most any time in Lane Kiffin's career, he would take the Florida job. It's very attractive. It's an awesome job. It's a phenomenal opportunity. I don't know if this point in his career, and he's not old, so I don't mean that. I just don't know if he would leave. I think he's shockingly comfortable where he's at. I think the intent when he took the Ole Miss job was let's go, let's win, and then catapult. I think he's very happy. He's got family with him, his kids. He's making close to $10 million a year, so I don't think you can, I don't think you can buy Lane Kiffin at this point in his life. And Ole Miss is a acquisition power by virtue of the transfer portal. Ole Miss has never been a high-flying, phenomenal recruiting rankings school. Now, they get good players, but you don't think of Ole Miss in recruiting rankings, right? They have circumvented that, Lane Kiffin has, with the transfer portal. You could claim at the moment it's the best transfer portal school in America. I think Florida State had that mantle. And maybe Florida State feels like now they don't necessarily have to go that route as heavily as they did. And maybe they've adjusted their targets. But Ole Miss feels like they've got to do it, and they are very aggressive, and they do have the money raised to spend it to go get talent that typically they probably would not have assembled all at the same time in unison. And he's got a football team that's better than Florida. He's got a football program at the moment that's better than Florida's. Now, historically, upper end and all that, Spurrier forward. Now, if you want to go back to Johnny Vaught, you could also argue it. But Florida's more of a high-end place. There's nobody debating that. Florida, if it's right, can be a ridiculously good football program and team. I go back to probably Florida football, probably I can go back to Doug Dickey. Charlie Pell after that. Galen Hall, Spurrier. My boy, the Zucker. And then Ashtabula Jesus, so on and so forth. No, it's a very good, excellent job. But I don't know if Lane Kiffin, I don't know. I don't know if you can get him. I would probably never say that otherwise about him. But at this point in his career, he's so settled, so at peace, in such good shape at Ole Miss. I just don't know if bigger, sexier, if that appeals to him. I know the money wouldn't, because he's making, Lane Kiffin's right there towards the top of any coach in America when it comes to yearly income. Topwater Assassin, Bill, how the hell does an unproven coach like Napier have a huge buyout? College administrators must be the worst business people on earth. There does not seem to be a college administrator or AD or front office leader that has the guts to play hardball with the contract. The coaches and the agents apparently, and this has been going on for a long time, but apparently they get what they want. I'm like you. No, don't disrespect to Billy Napier. How does he command a big, gaudy buyout? Does anybody know what that number is? Because I don't. We know Coach Cal at Kentucky, his buyout is reportedly $33, $34 million. He is supposed to have a meeting with the AD at Kentucky, Mitch Barnhart, as early as today. Now, that's the way it was worded in general. I don't know if it was set in stone as of Coach Cal's radio show Monday evening. I don't know if that time was concrete yet. I don't think it was. But he said something like as early as today. He also said next few days. That's unclear, but it could be today. Don't know if that's a come to Jesus meeting or what. Probably is. Coming right back. Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. Give yourself extra time. Here's what we see. Heavy traffic now coming through the Hermitage-Donaldson area on 40 westbound. Coming in right now from Wilson County. Still a lot of volume also up through the Antioch area as that traffic continues to build, leaving Murfreesboro, Rutherford County, headed towards Nashville. Main Street at Spring Street, that was a crash involving some injuries. The fire department is still there tying up that intersection. Hey, 24/7 reliable crane and rigging services right here in Middle Tennessee. It's Tomahawk Crane and Rigging. Check them out at tomahawkcrane.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
It's just a few cocktails at happy hour.
There aren't any cops around.
After every game, we always have a few. It's no big deal.
It was just a few drinks. I'm good.
Hey, I can hold my liquor.
I drink and drive all the time.
If you put away some drinks, put away your keys. Fans don't let fans drive drunk.
Brought to you by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office, a division of the Tennessee Department of Safety and Homeland Security.
Dog parents are loving Dr. Marty's Nature's Blend premium dog food.
The way she acts and the way she moves, it's just so much better. And she's like a puppy again. It's unbelievable.
Dr. Marty's Nature's Blend is a freeze-dried raw food made with zero artificial preservatives. So it's naturally shelf-stable with no mess, freezer, or fridge required. Plus, it's full of premium turkey, beef, salmon, and meat your dog will love.
We started with Nature's Blend. She's happy. She sleeps well. She's energetic. I am just delighted with this product.
When given the choice, Nature's Blend and Amazon's number one bestseller in dry dog food. 29 out of 30 dogs chose Nature's Blend first.
I am so confident your dog will love it. Your order is back with a 90-day guarantee.
Save up to 54% off Nature's Blend and get a free bag of delicious beef liver treats. Go to drmartypets.com/healthy or text healthy to 511-511. Text healthy to 511-511.
All pets are unique. Your pet's results can and will vary. Message and data rates may apply. Studies available upon request.
Paid for by Dr. Marty's Pets.
Childress Collision Center is proudly saluting all of our first responders for their service. This message is brought to you by family-owned and operated Childress Collision Center. From a scratch or a dent to a full collision repair and expert paint matching, trust Childress Collision Center. Stop on by 1108 8th Avenue South in Nashville or call 615-266-4441. 615-266-4441. That's Childress Collision Center. They're people who care.
Hey, Bill King here. You want to get your business on my show? Let me explain something. Our advertisers are not just local. We have such a huge streaming audience that our advertisers are everywhere. So if you want to grow your business, you want us to help you do that, email PhyllisKing7, that's number 7, PhyllisKing7 at gmail.com. We'll get right back to you. We'll get your business on the radio, and we'll help you grow your business. Contact us if you want your brand to grow on my show, PhyllisKing7 at gmail.com.
Music City Todd approved. The Bill King Show.
Topwater Assassin from Auburn, South Carolina. Bill, if Florida did hire Lane, Cosby would have to break all his own fingers to keep from calling the show. He loves Lane Kiffin. He does not love Florida. Whatever the antithesis of love would be, that's Cosby's feeling for Florida. But he feels that way about a lot of schools. It's not just Florida. Bama, Kentucky, Vanderbilt. He's got a bunch of them that he despises. Lane Kiffin at Florida, though, I will say this. If indeed that happens someday, I think Cosby's love for Lane Kiffin would supersede his dislike of Florida. I think he would probably pull for the Gators some. I swear to you, I am not kidding. I'm not saying that for effect here. I think he probably would. Mike the Mad Dog. Bill, Florida's a tough place to coach. Fans are very impatient if you're not the next Steve Spurrier or Urban Meyer. Well, they have high expectations because they know what it's capable of. That's the situation. There are crazy expectations because they know what it looks like. They know what 06 and 08 and that run in the 90s with the 96 championship and some other really good teams. They know what it looks like when Florida is right. It's also a lesson that we have taught on this show for decades upon decades, and that is when you continuously hire the wrong leader, you get the results that are appropriate for that hire. Now, let's let Billy Napier get in there this year and see what happens with probably the most daunting schedule in America and a roster that's not as good as Florida ought to be, top to bottom. And if he works it out, he works it out. I'll be the first one here to say congratulations. He beat the odds. I will. Yeah, I will. Coach Cal, just back to that one, might be meeting with Mitch Barnhart, the AD at Kentucky today. I don't know if there's anything new there, guys, as of this morning. And that is specifically tailored around a look into the future. Is this what we want to do going into the future? Buyout reportedly around $33 million. Now, they can come up with that money. Kentucky's got plenty of money. And also remember, I was watching Andy Staples a little bit yesterday talking about this, but these buyouts aren't one lump sum usually. Usually it's a yearly payment of some sort. Sometimes it's a monthly payment. Sometimes it's a lump sum that's a portion of the total and then payments. It could be any number of ways. But Kentucky, I know when you think about Kentucky, you think basketball. And rightfully so, but Kentucky as a university is flowing with money. If they want to buy him out, $33 million, which is a big number, ain't a problem at Kentucky. They got lots of money at state and lots of folks who can write a check. Oh, remind me about something. Interesting, and we don't have time here, but this just hit me. Very interesting story about Kentucky and name, image, likeness involving the 615. Yes, I'll tease you. There's an audio clip, but I'll just give you the cliff notes next hour on this. I heard this yesterday, and I thought about clipping it for the show, and I thought, you know what? I'll just give you the cliff notes on this story. It's a name, image, likeness story about Kentucky basketball involving Nashville, Tennessee. Yes. Now, remember, prior to all of this becoming the rule of the land, Kentucky's always been accused of buying basketball players, dating back before Emory Air Freight and the Chris Mills package opening up on the conveyor belt back in the 80s. There's always been allegations and people pointing at Kentucky basketball as being, what was the guy's name that World Wide West? Where's World Wide West these days? Is he faded into oblivion? Remember all of that talk? Yeah, Cal gets his players through World Wide West. Wasn't he a Nike guy, a street guy? Anyways, interesting story. when we come back.